Most people, when they hear some preacher mention faith and finances in the same breath, well, they want to run a mile. Yeah, okay, some people have been burned by that. But actually, God has a lot to say, an awful lot in fact, about how we use our money. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond. Great to be back with you again, as today we chat about the biblical view of money with my special guest, Rick Dunn. Preachers talking about money makes your skin want to crawl, doesn't it? It seems so self-serving. All they want is your money to finance their private jets and their lavish lifestyles. And to tell you the truth, that's what I used to think. And in some cases, perhaps it's still true. But the reason we're talking about money again on the program today, as we have been over these last few weeks, is that the love of money ruins many a person's life. God's own word, the Bible, has this to say in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And in their eagerness to be rich, some have wandered away from their faith and pierced themselves with many pains." Loving money, it turns out, is like hugging a porcupine. It ends up hurting you real bad. It's easy to get this view that these fundamentalist Christians are banging on about the evils of money. Well, they're just party poopers. Maybe you're right. Maybe God's like that. Maybe he's an old grouch who hates money. Oh, I don't want any part of that sort of a God. You know, I'll just ignore God. And what all these people are saying about money, I'll just go on hugging the porcupine. But the problem is, it doesn't work either, because it hurts. A vicious cycle that pierces us with many pains. So I'm joined again today on the program by Rick Dunham.
Great to be here.
So tell us, what's your take on this? Does God tell us that money's bad? Do we have to be poor to believe in Jesus Christ?
No, money is morally neutral, to be honest. It's what the value that we place on it.
And just say that again. Money is
morally neutral. It only has the value that we end up placing on it, and that's what God's concerned about. That's why I think in Ecclesiastes, Solomon spoke to this, is that in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, he says, "Moreover, when God gives any man wealth and possessions and enables him to enjoy them, to accept his lot and be happy in his work, this is a gift of God." So God, even in that passage, Solomon is saying, money's not bad. Money's only bad when we give it the improper place in our life.
So where's the line then between us enjoying what God's given us and then, I guess, stepping over some line and never being satisfied with it and then starting to chase after it? How does that happen? Where's the line?
Well, again, I think that's where Jesus was trying to say is it's an issue of faith, is that when we place our faith in money to provide us that security, we've stepped over that line. When we place our faith in God ultimately to provide us that security, we're in that safety zone, if you would, that money will not control us. So I think for the people of God, the challenge has been we proclaim verbally our faith and our trust in God, but in our actions and how we value money and place value on that money, we in fact put our trust and faith there.
But isn't it incumbent on us to work hard and to make sure we provide for our families and we put food on the table and so on?
Absolutely. That's a priority of why God gives us money, is to provide. In fact, the New Testament's very clear on that. Paul is very clear on that, is that people are to work hard and to provide for their family. And they're worse than an unbeliever if they don't.
Yeah.
But that has nothing to do with whether or not I look to that money then as my source of security or not.
Maybe it's harder for men. Men feel like they're providers for their families. It's a guy thing, I guess. And so there's a guy working in a company, and the company's laying people off, and he doesn't know if he's going to be next, and he's starting to worry about that. What would you say to him?
Yeah, I mean, that's where our faith comes into play, is that ultimately, if we truly believe that God's on his throne and that he has our life in his hands, I can trust him through that. Often what I say in this whole issue of faith is that you and I, our only responsibility is to trust God. When we do in those kinds of situations, now it's God's responsibility, not mine anymore. Huh. And that's the beautiful release of faith. When I can truly trust God in that kind of situation that I cannot control, I've done everything I know I can, I'm a hard worker, and I bring value to the company, and I look at that situation, I can trust God, and now it's his problem, and it's no longer mine.
I guess one of the things I used to go through in days gone by is that I could say that, but to me, trusting God meant that God had to save my house, for instance, that in fact, God was only God if he managed to save my house.
Mm-hmm. That's because we're putting preconditions on God and saying that, God, here's what my...
That's what it is.
Here's my framework of success that, Lord, I'm sure you'll want to adopt as your will for my life. When God says, I have a completely different plan. Because that plan, which we cannot fully understand, only in his wisdom, can he take us through times, even like he took me, to teach me what, not only what it meant to trust him, but as I trust him, to make an even a bigger impact for his kingdom that I could have never imagined.
Yeah, that's scary stuff, isn't it? Mm. A friend of mine talks about the economics of enough.
Mm.
When is enough enough? I mean, that varies in cultures and countries, but how do we make that decision that I actually have enough?
I think your friend is going down the right track, but I actually don't think that's ultimately the right question. I think the right question is, what is the priority of my giving? What's the priority of my finances, I should say? What takes preeminence in terms of how I use what God has put into my trust? When I answer that question, the enough question answers itself. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I mean, just because, I think we get it backwards. We say, okay, my first priority is decide what's enough, and then I'll use whatever's left over for the kingdom. No, God says 100% of what I've given to you, I want you to invest in kingdom purposes. Let's decide that one first, and the enough thing will take care of itself.
Oh, now 100%. So you're not into tithing?
Well, we'll talk about that a little bit later on, because obviously one of the chapters in my book is called The Myth of Stewardship.
Yeah, okay, I'm looking forward to that. So, how do I get this right? What's God's answer to this problem? It strikes a dilemma, a human dilemma, this love of money. How can I take that step of saying I'm all in? Everything I have belongs to God, and it's all on the line. That's a really scary step for people to take.
Well, again, I go back in 1 Chronicles 29, David makes a very powerful statement that if you truly understand it, I think, Bernie, it's the first step to this journey that you're talking about. And in that chapter, he says, but who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. That's the start of a worldview that says, you know what? I think I earned all that money, but really what God is doing is he's placing that money through my talents that he's given me and through the situation he's placed me in and through the job he's given me. He's allowing me to earn that money or as a family to inherit that money, whatever it might be. That's basically says, I'm putting this into your trust. And when I understand that that's where it starts, that's the first step on the journey. Because right now, I don't think we genuinely believe that.
I guess that's the whole point of the parable of the talents, where the master goes away and gives five to one and two to another and one to another, and he expects them to radically invest that for a return in the kingdom of God.
Yeah, and that's the whole idea of stewardship is not giving. And this is where I know we'll talk about this later, but stewardship is not giving. Stewardship is about taking whatever is put into our trust and using it effectively for the one who owns it.
That's great. Thanks, Rick. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Before we go, I'd like to tell you about the free daily devotional that I'd love to send you to help you draw even closer to God. It's called Fresh, a powerful scripture verse together with some words of inspiration, hope, and encouragement delivered right to the inbox on your smartphone, tablet or computer each and every day. You can read it, listen to the audio, or even watch the daily video. It's completely up to you. God's Word, fresh for you today. And the best thing is, it's free. To get instant access, just stop by our mobile-friendly website, christianityworks.com. You'll see the Fresh e-devotional sign up right there at the top of the homepage. And when you do subscribe, you'll instantly receive a free copy of the e-book, How Can I Hear God Speak to Me? That web address again, in case you missed it, is christianityworks.com. So go on, go ahead, sign up to receive Fresh, and may your heart be touched and transformed as you draw ever closer to Jesus through his word. I'm Bernie Diamond. I'll catch you again, same time tomorrow, with a different perspective.